Thank God, said the Pharisee, I'm not like those people. I personally know what this is like. A few years back, I wrote an article for Church Times, like my blog. It was brilliant. And it was very funny. You had to be there. It was actually a, I'm sure you're interested. It was an article all about the worship of another kind that hundreds of thousands of men, mainly men, do on a Sunday morning. I used to do it. I was a fisherman, and I spent years on riverbanks and lake banks match fishing. It's a total addiction and a god. And anyway, I likened our worship of the fishing kind to worship in church. Yeah, you had to be there. Either way, Church Times got quite a few letters of complaint, all from these elderly clergymen, fundamentalists, not a scrap of sense of humour. They passed them on to me, and I said to my wife, I cannot. How could anyone be so fundamentalist, so not getting the joke, so not understanding my creativity? Thank God I'm not like them. She said, well, you're having a pretty good go. You see, it's very contagious. Symptom one of religionitis, and we're so prone to falling into it, all of us, is we compare ourselves with others. Thank you, Lord, I'm not like them. The writer M. Scott Peck said, we are comparing creatures. And it's a lot easier to spot religionitis in somebody else than in myself. And it's what the Pharisee is doing here. When you're thinking you're better and thanking God, you are. And here's where that leads. If symptom one of religionitis affects your heart and what you think of others, symptom two, I'm suggesting from this parable, affects your theology. That means your understanding of God. And what you start to believe is that the gospel is like this. This is the theology, essentially, of religionitis. Look at verse 12. I fast twice a week. I tithe everything I get. What is the Pharisee thinking of here? That there is a ladder which he is climbing through religious practices to get closer to God. Religion of a true kind is actually, religion is in its essence, its original meaning, a very beautiful word. It comes from the Latin, religio. What does that mean? To reconnect. Ligio, to connect. Re, to connect again. Scripture tells the story how right at the beginning, God and people were in perfect harmony, closely connected, walking together, working together, like an apprentice with their good dad in total harmony. And it tells the story of how the two became disconnected. And there's a gap between the two. If you've been to church a few years, you know the story. C.S. Lewis calls this gap the God-shaped hole within. The atheist Julian Barnes describes it like this. He says, I don't believe in God, but I miss him. Yeah. Do you know that missing of God? Goodness, I know I do. And one way classically that religion tries to get back to God is to climb a ladder. If I can only do this a bit more, and I really ought to do it, if I can give a bit more, love a bit more, try a bit harder, then I will connect with God, who's surely at the top of the ladder. But it's not what Jesus says. Jesus is the one who made himself of no repute. At the beginning of his teaching and preaching ministry, he is baptized by John the Baptist to identify himself with sinners. It's a baptism for the repentance of sins. And if that's one bookend of his ministry, the other bookend is him dying on the cross, identifying himself with the worst of all criminals, That was the fate for those who were the lowest of the low. But that wasn't as low as he got, because our creed says and God's word says that after that he descended to the dead, into hell. You can't get any lower than that. Jesus identifies himself with the lowest of the low. He's not at the top of the ladder. Religionitis is for those who are confident of their own righteousness. And to be honest with you, you could disagree, but sometimes church architecture doesn't help with religionitis. You see, before we had microphones, there probably was a point, and nothing wrong back in the Victorian day for this. But the problem with it is that when you're here, you could feel pretty special. There's a point to this part as well. Because there is something about communion and the sacrament of communion that is set apart and extremely holy indeed. And there is a theological argument for having communion set apart in a place like this. The problem with it is when it makes people up here feel really good and people down there feel as though there is a hierarchy, a ladder you can climb. Religionitis is very contagious, and the Pharisees had it in spades, and we can catch it if we're not careful. One point of making space for good in Peckham is to ask God, how can this site, in its architecture, give the welcome of Jesus, which doesn't give the impression you have to be really holy, really good, to be allowed in All Saints? I once invited someone to St. Mary's, which was where I was vicar, in Crawley. She said, I'd love to come, Jonathan, but I'm just not good enough. That's what she said. I'd love to come, but I'm just not good enough. You see, unwittingly, unintentionally, no doubt, through the ages, the church, God's people, can give the impression you've got to be really good to be loved by God. Two symptoms God's word says that we've got to identify and get rid of is if we're giving the impression we're confident of our own righteousness, if in any sense we're looking down on everybody else. Let's hear this, there's nothing wrong with tithing. It's an amazing discipline of fantastic blessing that God honors. There is nothing wrong with fasting, which we're encouraging people to do for our prayer day. It's a great thing. It gets you closer to God. It really does. But it doesn't make you better than someone else climbing a ladder. Does this make sense? Does this make sense to you? Jesus takes the ladder down and he gives us the prescription. It's the cross. He throws the ladder away and he takes us deeper into the cross, because all of God's people throughout scripture, throughout history, have all been in one way or another humbled. This is what Jesus says: for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles themselves will be exalted. Jesus does this. The prescription is to look at the tax collector. How can we identify with him? A couple of weeks back, there was the funeral here of Gary. He was a member of AA. There were about 150 people. 140 of them were AA members. It was a pretty special service. And one reason it was pretty special is because nobody was looking down on anybody else. They were all, like Gary, alcoholics. And they were all, if not believing in Jesus, certainly in a higher power. And like the tax collector, had taken what AA calls step one. Come face to face with the fact that their lives were unmanageable and needed our help. Step two, to call out for that help. It really is the prescription for religionitis. You don't need to be an alcoholic to need those two steps. The cross is the sign of the God who isn't on the top, who makes himself nothing, of no repute, to reconnect us back again. Who goes down to hell, as we said, and who comes back, the resurrected Jesus, even with the marks of shame on his body, through his wrists and through his ankles, of the nail marks and the spear in his side, the wounded healer, as someone has put it. And he invites us to enter his humbling. Sometimes, as we prayed, we're on the threshold of situations where we're brought face to face with our own helplessness. Rupe and Jenny going to Kosovo. Called by God. Pretty sure of that. But pretty terrified as well, we heard. Sometimes in our lives, it's not a calling, but sometimes, as probably was the case with the tax collector, a great sin. We fall off our high horse or our high ladder, and we come before God desperate for his help. Sometimes it's a great illness or suffering of another kind that God uses to bring us to that place. We see this with a prodigal son who hits rock bottom before he turns back to his father. A woman caught in adultery a few moments from death before receiving Jesus' rescue. A failure of a man without a shred of confidence in his own righteousness called Moses. Or a coward of a man without a shred of courage in his own strength, called Gideon. You see, you can't be filled with Jesus' Holy Spirit unless you've first been emptied. A woman in Luke chapter 7 who has been humbled by the experience of Jesus in the flesh rescuing her from a life of sin. Or Zacchaeus in Luke 19, humbled by Jesus coming into his house and into his life, rescuing him from his life like this tax collector in the parable. Before coming to Peckham, I was ill for about 18 months, 2 years, still working, not well. Nothing I did could shake it off. Nothing like illness to make you feel pretty desperate and unhappy. A humbling time. But then, extraordinarily, just went like that. And the fringe benefit, if you like, fringe benefit of that experience, which definitely in that time took me off any high horse I might have been riding, fringe benefit that needs to be reinstilled every day, is way greater compassion. It's the beautiful thing about AA, that really able to help one another because they've been there. It's pretty hard to judge somebody else who's at rock bottom when you've been there. Jesus says, for God's sake, diagnose religionitis. For God's sake, become a church whose badge, whose banner, whose salvation is the cross, not the ladder. Who's following Jesus, who went as low as you can go, as scorned as you can get, as humbled as you can be, as tortured to death for a crime he didn't commit. There's no hell you can fall into where Jesus has not been and cannot reach you. And sometimes that's what it takes for religionitis, and all the posturing that goes with it has to go. So as the bands come forward now, we're going to sing in a moment a song that says, I'm laying down all my religion. And if that's your prayer, if you get what this is about, then you can sing it. It's religion of the bad kind. It's religion of the hierarchical kind. It's religion that is confident of its own righteousness and looks down on everyone else. And before we sing that, I'm just going to lead us in a prayer, which is the prayer of the tax collector, who knows his need for God, who cries out for mercy, and who goes home justified because God has heard him. Lord God, we are sorry for every way that we have caught the bug of religionitis, or whatever we like to call it. For any way I've thought I'm better than someone else, or try to work out my own salvation rather than through the cross. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner, the tax collector said. Have mercy on us. Have mercy on us.